Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Suryodaya Small Finance Bank Q3 and 9M FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Centrum Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Centrum Broking, I welcome you all to the 3Q and 9-month FY23 earnings call of Suryodaya Small Finance Bank. We have with us top management team of Suryodaya, represented by MD and CEO, Mr. Bhaskar Babu Ramachandran, Chief Services Officer, Mr. Narayan Rao, CFO, Mr. Kanishka Chaudhary, and IR Head, Mr. Himadri Das. With this brief introduction, I hand over the floor to the management team of Suryodaya. They will start with their brief overview on the results, after which we will move on to the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Shailesh. Good morning, everybody. On behalf of Suryodaya Small Finance Bank, I extend a warm welcome to our Q3 and 9-month FY23 earnings conference call. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the presentation for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31st, 2022, uploaded on the stock exchanges. The global economic outlook now seems to be getting back on track in the last few months and inflation showing signs of a descent. However, with inflation still above the target in major economies, coupled with the volatility in the global financial markets and the continued geopolitical hostilities, there remains some uncertainties around the global economy. The Indian economy has demonstrated resilience amidst all these global volatilities. As per the Union Budget, the government has estimated a GDP growth of 6.5% for FY24. The growth is attributed towards multiple growth drivers such as the robust GST collections, rise in consumption level, and revival of the rural economy. On the industry front, RBI has recently hiked the repo rate by 25 basis points, taking it from 6.25% to 6.5%. India's central bank has adopted a calibrated approach while raising interest rates amidst global developments. Now coming to our operational and financial performance, we are delighted to report that the bank has delivered a steady performance during the 9-month period ended December 31st, 2022, as the microfinance and connected lines of business have almost recovered back to its pre-COVID levels of growth. The bank's gross advances stand at 5,408.2 crores as compared to 4,872.3 crores in 9 month FY22, an increase of 11% year-on-year and a normalized growth of 19.6% including the ARC portfolio. Disbursement for the period surged by 33% to 3,395 crores as compared to 2,547 crores in the same period last year. Along with the growth in disbursements, the bank has 21.9 lakh customers as on December 22, an increase of 18.4% over the same period last year. We are committed in delivering a monthly pre-provisioning profit of approximately 40 crores from the month of March 23 of this financial year. On the profitability side, the bank has reported a profit of 38.8 crores against a loss of 44.9 crores during the similar period last year. I would also like to mention about the recently concluded ARC transaction. Suryodaya Bank has sold stressed loan portfolio, including write-off loans, to Edelweiss ARC for the transaction amount of rupees 135.1 crores. Now let me throw some light on our key operational and financial metrics as of 9 months ended December 31st, 2022. On the business performance, the disbursements have grown by 33.3% during the 9-month period on a year-on-year basis, indicating strong momentum across businesses on the ground. The disbursements, particularly in the microfinance, stood at 1,873 crores during the 9-month period, resulting into a growth of 27.2% against the previous 9-month period. The bank has ramped up its disbursement in the micro home loan and commercial vehicle segment. Disbursement in the two-wheeler business, which commenced in Q2, is gaining traction, and we expect to scale up the book in the next financial year. The collection efficiency has been improving steadily on the back of businesses' growth and economy nearing pre-COVID levels. The overall collection efficiency stood at 110.4%. On the gross advances front, we grew by 11% to 5,408.2 crores on a year-on-year basis, excluding the net ARC portfolio of 417.8 crores as of December 22. and it translates into a normalized growth of 19.6%. The inclusive finance comprises of 61.1% of the asset book, while affordable home loans is at 9.8% and the commercial vehicle loan and secured business loans are at 6% each. As a strategy, we have been increasing our non-inclusive finance portfolio gradually over the last few quarters. On the deposits and borrowings front, our total deposits witnessed a growth of 48.2% to 3,169 crores year on year. Our focus would be to grow granular retail deposits along with CASA. The borrowings at the end of December formed 26.5% of the total liabilities, majority of which were from refinancing institutions. Suryoday has a network of 571 branches, out of which 92 branches are fully liability-focused branches, while 364 branches were asset-focused branches, and the balance comprised of rural centers. On the asset quality front, the GNPA, NNPA, and PCR stood at 4.2%, 2.7%, and 79.2%. Delinquency in the portfolio has declined, mainly due to the sale of loan portfolio to the ARC and substantially improved collection efficiency. On the earnings update, the net interest income stood at 536.5 crores as compared to 438 crores, an increase of 22.5 year-on-year. The net total income stood at 599.9 crores as compared to 511.6 crores, an increase of 17.3% year-on-year. The net interest margin currently stands at 9.2% for Q3 FY23. Despite rising interest rate scenario, our cost of funds reduced to 6.6% compared to 7.1% in the corresponding quarter last year. Cost to income, including loss on stress assets of 21.5 crores, stood at 60.7% as compared to 58.8% during the 9-month period of FY22. During 9-month FY23, the company turned profitable and reported a robust profit of 38.8 crores as against a loss of 44.9 crores on a year-on-year basis. On the capital adequacy front, we continue to remain well capitalized. Capital adequacy of our bank is currently 36.4% as compared to 41.4% as on 9-month ended FY22. Tier 1 comprised of 33.5% and Tier 2 comprised of 2.9%. Finally, to summarize, we envisage multiple tailwinds that will enable the bank to scale up on a faster pace. We foresee 5 growth drivers which will act as a catalyst for growth in Q4 FY23. On the asset front, the growth will be driven by a rise in disbursement and sustained momentum in Vikas loans. The Vikas loan portfolio book currently stands at 828 crores with a PAR of 0.9%. The bank intends to focus on product diversification and bridge the gap between inclusive finance and the non-inclusive finance mix and move towards a robust ratio of 50% each. Moving on to deposit, we would also like to focus on the CASA mix and raise deposits to fuel growth going ahead. Talking about asset quality, it's our endeavor to achieve net NPA of 2% on the back of robust collections by the end of this financial year. Lastly, at Suryoday, we believe in technological prowess and how it can be leveraged to achieve link of growth. The usage of multiple applications such as Sarathi and Jyoti app helps us in reducing not only turnaround time but improve efficiency and effectiveness substantially across both asset and liability products. We are confident on a quarter-on-quarter improved performance and deliver a very robust and sustainable performance in FY24. Thank you for your continued support and over to Shailesh. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Varun Gia from Dimensional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, sir. I have two questions. One is regarding the OPEX cost, the employee and operating expenses both have gone up. The number of employees have gone up, but the addition in the branches have been more or less similar. So these employees have been added in the existing areas, and what role are they added for? And even the operating expenses has jumped quite a bit. So this, and secondly, the yields has been going down consistently quarter on quarter despite the interest rate hikes and all. So if you could explain that too, and when do you see these yields increasing?
Thank you, Varun. Over to Kanishka.
Hi, good morning, Varun. So first, on the employee cost, you will see that we have had about a 13 crore increase on a quarter-on-quarter basis. That's largely explained by two facts. One is, you would remember that in the last quarter, we had released 7 crores of provisions, which were no longer required. So that's one of the reasons why the numbers were suppressed for the last quarter. And in this quarter, we had a concerted effort to increase our feet on street, and especially in the inclusive finance business. We had increased the headcount there by almost 400 people, which has also resulted in a organic growth in our compensation expenses. Insofar as the other expenses are concerned, there are three elements to that. First is the loss on sale that we had booked on account of the ARC transaction of 21.5 crores. There is increase in depreciation by 3 crores because our transformation project got completed and we capitalized it. The last is that we have had some expenses of about 1 odd crores across stationery and others where we have had increases. Coming to your point on the yields, our yields have dropped by about 40 bips quarter on quarter. One of the reasons is that our mix is gradually shifting towards retail assets. About, as things stand today, about 40% of the portfolio is retail assets today. What it means is that over a period of time, while there will be a bit of a compression in the yields, it will also result in the amount of loan loss provisioning that we have in a steady state. So that's what we are targeting at this particular point in time. Apart from that, I think if you look at the interest volatility, it has been our endeavor, especially in mortgage businesses and FIG, to have floating rate loan. So far, we continue.
So what would be the guidance on yields going forward for the full year?
A couple of things, Varun, will happen. One is that as we increase the portfolio of Vikas loan, which is curated, graduated, individual loans, which currently we operate at around 28%, and the capacity which has got released out of the sale of these assets, which now goes purely from a servicing point of view for the collection team, the increase in portfolio which we really anticipate now in the next 2 months should really add to at least the compensating yield of around 40 basis points by March or April of next year. So we should be back to where we were at around closer to 18.8%.
And the other thing to note, Varun, would be that now with the non-paying on GNPA portfolio having been taken off the balance sheet, so that will also result in a bit of an increase in the yields overall.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Renish.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Please proceed.
Yeah, sir, two questions from my side. So one again on the yield. So sir, what is the cumulative rate hike we have taken on the MFI book? Because we have seen industry across, have a hike rate by anywhere between 150 to 200 basis point. And I do remember that the last quarter we haven't had any rate hikes on MFI book. So just wanted to know whether we have increased rate in this quarter.
Finish, we have not increased the rate, but what we are kind of doing is that increasing the tilt towards the Vikas loan, which is a little higher price, and we deal with the customer on a one-on-one basis through the standing instruction directly debiting our savings account. So as the percentage of that portfolio goes, the overall yield adjustment towards the upward side will happen. Otherwise, we did not really anticipate any increase in the microfinance portfolio, considering our cost of funds has been broadly flat. But if really required, we will increase it by 50 basis points, but certainly not in this quarter. We'll watch, and then if our cost of funds goes up, then there will be a corresponding increase at least to 50 basis points on the JLG loans. On the Vikas loan, will continue to operate the same rate, which is currently at 28. That will probably move it up by 50 basis points or 75 basis points from the Q1 of next year. But however, the natural balancing will happen as a percentage of Vikas loan portfolio, which is currently around 2,000 crores, kind of for February, of the overall portfolio of around 3,200 crores, will go to probably 1,200 crores is what you're expecting by the end of March.
So, sir, what is the yield difference between JLG and Vikas loan?
3%.
Yeah, 3%.
So, Vikas loan is higher by 3%?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And sir, my second question is on the incremental book. You know, in PPT we have mentioned that, I mean, we have split the AUM between post-June 21 originated book and the pre-June 21 originated book, wherein, you know, it's clearly visible that the collection efficiency or, let's say, the portfolio performance is much better in the new book. So if you could just highlight, let's say, a broad 2-3 credit filters or geography changes, you know, which we have implemented post-June 21, which is leading to this kind of a portfolio performance.
Renish, what we have done is that in the filters in terms of graduating loans, we are more operating on a model of first cycle, second cycle higher than the first cycle, third cycle higher than the second cycle. So we have introduced the Sarthi app where we want to have a full grip in terms of the household economic status. So many a times a good repayment track record of 25,000 does not naturally mean that the repayment track record will be good for 35 and 55 and 65. So we have really stopped growing the book only by increase in ticket sizes. Any increase in ticket sizes has to be accompanied by a individual credit assessment, which is possible now through the Sarthi app. And we're also collecting some documents which clearly demonstrate the stability of the household in a particular geographical location, which is we either collect the document in terms of a gas bill, gas connection bill, which demonstrates that they've moved in and then they've shifted and the address reflects that, or in terms of any proof of their residence that they have. So any higher ticket loan is accompanied by the assessment of the customer to handle more than 60,000. Till 60,000, while we'll go through the normal JLG process of a group assessment and AOCPD, as we call it, which is a quality assurance officer visiting. The Sarthi app, the decisioning itself is centralized. They only capture the data and based on various tools available to it. Also, the new microfinance regulations has enabled us to also collect the details of the household, at least of one significant earning member. So Equifax also will now start giving up a composite report. So we'll utilize that composite report and further strengthen it. I think that's one reason. And in some of the geographies where it has been very difficult, specifically in terms of, say, Maharashtra, we have slowed down our business and focused only in terms of customers who have passed through both COVID 1 and 2 without any delay. So we aren't really acquiring any new-to-credit customer in those difficult markets for now.
Got it, sir. This is very helpful, sir. Best of luck. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Contrarian Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, the first question is, both during demand and COVID, our credit costs were higher than our peers. So what are the reasons for the same? And so that's the first question.
Yes, Anil. Yeah, Anil, the thing is that overall, there is a data which is available at the industry level, which really talks about a 90% or 14%. So there could be no various methodologies in which each one will operate. So, but clearly we see a credit loss of around closer to 20% on the March 31st to 2020 book. And currently, as everything, the dust has settled down, what we're really looking at is in terms of, we have not kind of funded any customer who are in delinquency, and to that extent, sometimes non-funding of a delinquent customer will take the customer to a deep delinquency level, but that's the culture code of the organization. We didn't want to fund more as a motivation for them to repay the previous loan. So to that extent, there could be some discrepancies. But however, I think the best way to compare would be to the published industry data, which is available in terms of both write-off as well as in terms of 90+, and compare the performance of any institution, including ours. So I'll leave that judgment to you. But however, what we're really now trying to do is that there are 5 lakh approximately delinquent customers which has flown through either write-off or in deep GNPA. We have put a collection force of 1,000 to kind of get a complete handle in terms of, you know, how much of them would really end up recovering. Our guess is that around close to 35% of that, by continuously pursuing and where the customers are still available, we'll be able to recover. And that is the reason where we have sold our portfolio without any other the structuring of 135 crores, and we're fairly confident we'll recover more than 135 crores of the portfolio which we have sold, which translates to more than 30%. And currently, we are the learnings of specifically the COVID 1 and 2 has been that individual assessment becomes paramount in terms of increasing ticket sizes beyond a particular level, which for us currently we consider 60,000. The operating mechanism for ILG is 50,000, max 60, depending on the number of cycles. Post that, we move to individual assessment, and this where it can likely help is that even in terms of turbulence or any other challenges, far more effective to reach out to the customer one-on-one because you don't get then influenced by the influence of the group in by either small political disturbances or economic disturbances. And that happens on the back of assessment. And hopefully, based on this, we are fairly confident that if including any of the challenges that may really come up, we'll be able to deliver a better performance as a dealing in on a one-on-one basis. On the comparison, I think probably we'll share the industry data one-on-one with you. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So the second question is, what's our assessment of our strength of middle and top management, and do you think we need to strengthen it, or you are already happy with it?
It's an ongoing exercise, Anil, but however, I think where we need to really, really strengthen now, while the good times are really returning, and that is where we tend to do some slack in terms of not putting the monitoring layers. So we have built up a very solid monitoring layer at the central office level, which will now take it to the regional office level. So which means even connecting up with the customer, assessment, underwriting on individual basis, the data collected will be centralized. To that extent, I think we'll be strengthening at least around 150 to 200 people for the, even the current existing number of branches under centralized monitoring, specifically for inclusive finance. And on the retail assets front, we are expanding our team as we fairly got a good grip in terms of specifically during the last year. One of the businesses which we are very, very bullish is the 5 to 10 lakh segment and the micro home loan, which currently operates at around close to 16 to 18%, a small portfolio of around 60 crores at this point of time, but zero delinquency portfolio. We would intend that we should continue building on that at least to an extent of around 250 to 300 crores end of next year. And that would really require probably adding another 150 people. And that partially will be even at the middle management level.
Yes. Sir, and the last question is, when I compare your liability strategy with your peers, say like Ujjivan, our strategy is totally different. Like we have very less liability branches, and we are not even expanding the liability branches very aggressively. And in the one of the earlier calls, you said you are happy with the double-digit wholesale borrowings also. So can you explain our liability strategy a little bit in more detail?
And we have been wanting to focus only on specifically on the retail segment to start with through the FD route and thereafter convert itself into CASA. Our CASA strategy is predominantly focused in terms of getting the real, granular, sticky, mid-sized CASA. So we haven't really kind of had a strategy in terms of acquiring large value SA or CA accounts, because we believe that specifically in terms of large value SA accounts or flow through accounts, almost like a cash management. So however, we are clear that the minimum of a 22% is what we wanted to reach at the end of the financial year. We are low at this point of time. We would focus on that in terms of focusing SA in the 2 to 5 lakh segment. So we are reinitiating, that will be the focus area for the Q4 and obviously continues to do so. On the retail liabilities, we have been pretty strong, closer to around 9. We were at 85-86%, currently it's at 77.9%. Our intent is to really increase the 3 to 15 lakh of focused retail asset, retail liabilities, which is in terms of fixed deposits. And we had a pretty good traction during the last quarter, and we intend that we will continue that even for the coming quarter. And in spite of an increased rate, which we rolled out for a period of 3 weeks as a campaign, our overall cost of deposits and cost of funds remains almost flat. And probably it will marginally go up now as we kind of acquire more deposits at a little higher pricing. So that will continue to our strategy. However, we are adding another 50 branches during the next financial year of our existing asset branches, converting them into liability branches. So we intend to have closer to 150 branches by end of FY24. And the rollout of that will start from Q1. Q1 probably will have 25 branches converted. And thereafter gradually, so we'll add approximately 50 new liability branches, many of them operating from our, getting converted from our existing asset branches, larger size branches. Maybe we'll have to do a shifting of those locations to little more visible locations. So that exercise will be on.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sachin Shah from SS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me an opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First is, we have acquired some 1 lakh customer in this quarter, and approximately 3.4 lakh customer in 9 months. Just want to understand how many customer from this would be new to credit?
I don't have an immediate data, but we have defocused on new to credit substantially. Probably
JLG zero.
JLG is much lesser than even 5,000 customers. Max it will be around 5,000 customers. We are focusing more in terms of NTB, but not NTC in microfinance at this point of time.
Okay. And my next question would be on broader level question. One of the largest NBFC, that is Bajaj Finance, in their latest release mention of entering the MFI space. If that may happen, how do we see the competition landscape shaping for us as an SFB focused on inclusive finance?
Markets are large for sure, so each one will kind of carve out a space. But microfinance being a business where you'll have to have feet on street and the required infrastructure, any new competitor entering irrespective of the size will take time. But however, I think our intent has not been to kind of continues to grow our business only in the unsecured JLG business. The two large markets, for instance, when we do our retail footprint, there are approximately 2 lakh of our existing customers have excellent track record in mortgages, micro mortgages, either in terms of a small home loan. I mean, when I say small, it could vary anywhere between 5 lakh to 25 lakhs. This is purely from a JLG customer segment where we have the visibility only of the customer data. We don't have the visibility in terms of the household data. So this is a very large market. So we have, the focus has been in terms of collections and getting it back on track. But starting from Q1 of next year, our endeavor would be to kind of convert a pretty large percentage of our existing customer base into secured loan customers. When I say large, it's approximately at least 15 to 20%. So the market is large, once they enter and depending on what the strategies are, we'll have to do it. The microfinance segment as of now has not translated itself into repaying through the bank. However, our Vikas loan portfolio of 80,000 customers that currently we have, 1 lakh customers we have, the entire repayment has been insisted on through our own savings account. And if you're able to do that very successfully, then that becomes an operative account rather than only a disbursement account, which will lead to various opportunities. So we'll have to stay focused on what we are. Currently, we are at only 5,500 crores. Our focus would be to how to strongly grow by 30% year on year, rather than be a little distracted about any new entrants or any other increase to competition.
That was really helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manav Vijay from Deep Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. Sir, first of all, if you can tell us, so what is the loan growth that you're targeting for FY24?
As we guided Manav earlier, we continue to be confident and want to stay in the range of around 25 to 35%. So the sweet spot for us would be around a 30% strong asset growth, continuing to do on the as we did in the new portfolio post-June 21, keep the 90-plus delinquency at less than 0.5%, and also kind of start meaningful provision, standard asset provisioning starting from FY24 on the unsecured piece of the business. So 30% would be our target, and the range would be 25 to 35%.
Okay. And I like the way we have ended this quarter with around 62% on the JLG side and rest on the secured asset side. So is there any target number that you have for FY24 to end with?
The same ratio will be good because the 62 adjustment has happened out of the sale of the ARC assets of approximately around 430 crores. So there will be a fill up which will happen. The target which we will get it is a FY25 on closer to 50-50. If we go to work, we continue to maintain a very strong 60-40, which will be very good.
Okay. And in that case, so since the secured portfolio will be growing, let's say, at a slightly faster pace, so what is the credit cost that you guys are looking for in FY24?
Irrespective of the actual credit cost, what we are likely to do, which we have kind of been speaking and guiding, is that to have a meaningful standard asset provision for the unsecured IF business. Probably kind of closer to around 1.5% to 2% year on year. Well, the history kind of at least shows us that a 3-4 years of good growth with very minimal credit cost, and then some event or the other which is absolutely unpredictable, whether it is a demon or it's a COVID, next risk could be anything else, or it may not even happen. But just that it were to happen, we would like to kind of start the standard asset provisioning and have a very robust closer to around 5 to 6%. So to that extent, if I have to guide, including making that provision, would be around closer to
2%. 2% in total?
Yeah, in total.
Okay. My last question to you, sir. So regarding the SRs that we have received from Edelweiss of 135 crore, so what kind of provisioning you need to make on them in terms of, let's say, the time provisions?
So, we have already discounted our SRs in terms of the valuation.
If you note that our net book value at the time of transfer was around 250 crores and we discounted that further and then sold it at 135, which closely approximates to the collection ability that we have forecasted out of the 490 crores of overall pool. For the time being, we see ourselves being able to do the collection up to that amount. So as of now, no provision is foreseen.
Okay. And sir, last question. So so in quarter two, you were guiding for around 130 crores of operating provision cost in H2. Now you have done 40 crores in this quarter. Are you still sticking to that number of 130 crores?
No, given how things have turned out, we are not looking at that kind of a number. We may possibly have another 50 to 60 crores for Q4 is what we would have in mind, basically to be able to clean up whatever residual COVID impacted book that remains with us.
So Mano, correctly our GNPA is 230 crores, of which 60 crores is ECLGS loans. So while we'll continue to kind of capture, but the repayment means the reimbursement have started. So while it will take time, we are fairly confident that we'll cover at least 50% of the 60 crores over the next couple of months. So, but over a period of time, that's a reimbursable one guaranteed. And of the remaining 170 crores, we currently have a provision of around closer to 80 crores. And if we have to cover even the entire balance, probably as Kanishka guided, whether 50 to 60 crores is the maximum that we need to do. Because the around 15 to 20% of the portfolio of even GNPA customer is continuously paying customers. So we do expect to recover out of the 160, at least around closer to 40 to 50 crores.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And all the best for us. Looking forward for you guys to do 40 crores of RKP pop monthly from March onwards, sir.
Thank you, Mano.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Yash Agarwal from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Do you want to check, is there any interest reversal there this quarter that you've done?
Yeah, so there has been a bit of an interest reversal on account of the newly tagged NPAs. Our at a gross level, the new NPAs for the quarter has remained more or less the same at around 160 odd crores. Which translates to about 7 crores of income reversal, which is what we would have had in the last quarter as well.
Okay, okay, got it. And, again, coming back to this operating profit, even if I adjust for the provisions made on the ARC, the operating profit is down 8 to 10% quarter on quarter. So in the context, what are the drivers that you see that, right now you're doing about 80, 85 crore quarterly and, you're guiding for about 110, 120 crore, quarterly from March or maybe the first quarter of next year. So what are the major drivers that you see taking, taking it to that number? How realistic is this number that you've put across?
Yeah, so that will almost entirely depend on, the amount of book growth that we have. So from the 5,400 levels that we are here today, we want to be somewhere closer to 6,000 to 6,200 in that particular range. And like we said, we have been fairly cautious in growing our Vikas loan book. So in this particular quarter, we would possibly have a 50-50 mix between Vikas loan and the traditional loans. So that uptick is what's going to help us increase our operating profit.
Okay. And do the costs plateau out from here, about 125 crore of operating expense, despite the fact that we could grow about 8 or 10% in the fourth quarter? Would that plateau out here?
We see a little bit of increase in our cost because there is some staffing still left to be done in the inclusive finance segment in terms of feet on street. But after that, we would be fairly there. So there would be some increase on employee cost, but apart from that, we would be fairly stable.
Okay. All right. Best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sanjay Pandit from 1729 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. My question was sort of thinking longer term. Obviously, there's still some you know, provisions to be made? There's some dealing with the remnants of the effects of COVID, et cetera. If you look beyond the next four quarters, i.e. into FY25 and after, what kind of sort of returns on assets and return on equity are you targeting as being sort of realistic for your business long term?
Ideally, the way in which we have built the model earlier, we'll kind of not want to repeat it and quite a bit of take the learnings of the COVID. We have to give that back into it. I think it becomes extremely important that if the financial services are delivered at a household level meaningfully, which means that a lot more effort and the cost goes in terms of assessing them first. But if you adjust it for the credit loss and the opportunities in terms of growth, it's pretty significant that the operating cost can remain flat as a percentage, I mean as an amount, and there could be a volume kicker of around approximately 25 to 30. That would translate into an ROA of around 3 to 3.5%, but more importantly, is it can it be a very sustainable after making a meaningful standard of the provisioning around 15 to 16% is what we'll be targeting for FY24, and probably you know, thereafter a steady state between anywhere between 16 to 18 on a consistent basis without any swings, including such years when it happens, is what we'll be targeting.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Anjana Shah from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity, sir. Couple of questions from my end. So we plan to take our Vikas loan book to rupees 1200 crores from the current, say about 828 crores. So could you throw some color on this product and the bank strategy on this product going forward?
Vikas loan is a graduated loan given to on an individual basis without any group guarantee, and the repayment of that is done through the existing savings account of the customer, and we do a standing instruction. Currently, the clearance rate on the due date is approximately closer to 90%. The intent is to really kind of keep it. It used to be at 94, was stabilized at 90. The intent is to really take it. What it really means is that the underlying savings account becomes an operative account for us to introduce various products, including meaningful savings and government insurance schemes like PMJJY and PMSBY. Based on our own assessment, whenever we do a death claim processing, unfortunately, of either customer or of our spouse in majority of the cases, around 12 to 15,000 claims, we find that the penetration of even the basic insurance scheme of government is very close to nil without any exaggeration. So such things to be built up on it, which really leads to a customer stickiness, it's imperative that the dealing is not at a group level but an individual level. Considering the cost of servicing at this point of time, we operate around 28%. And the traction now currently is that we do around 40% of our monthly disbursement of around 350 crores in the Vikas loan. The shortlisted customers are approximately around 6 lakhs based on various parameters, including their retail track records with other institutions. So currently we have 1 lakh customers. The intent is to really add closer to 1 lakh customers in the Q4, making it closer to around 2 lakh customers. So that's our strategy on that front. And we use what we call as a Sarathi app, which captures the entire household data. And the decisioning is done on a centralized basis for loans which are above 65,000. So given that the targeted run rate at this point of time is 350 to 400 crores, of the 1,000 crores that we'll do, we are targeting that we'll run closer to 400 to 450 crores in Vikas loan for this quarter, which takes it to closer to 1,200 crores at the end of this financial year.
So sir, then is Vikas loan as a product only offered to existing MFI customers?
As of now, yes. But with the combined credit bureau being released by the various credit bureaus at this point of time, the intent is to do Vikas loan even for new-to-bank customers, but not NTC, because it's purely based on the long track record of the customer across institutions. So we are ready to introduce, but we look forward to introduce it towards close of this financial year, but specifically for scale-up from Q1, and not even Q1, probably Q2 of the next financial year.
Sure, sir. Sure. Okay, sir. And how do we see our marginal cost or overall cost of borrowing moving ahead going forward?
So if you look at our funding profile, you know, 2/3 is deposit and about 1/3 is borrowing. We expect that, you know, in this quarter, we may have around a 50 bips of increase in the deposit rates overall, right? which will mean that, you know, on a weighted average basis, we will have around 30 basis points of increase in our cost of funds. So that's like the maximum that we are anticipating at this particular point in time.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. That was really helpful.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Contrarian Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks once again. Sir, most of our products are targeted towards informal and semi-formal segments. So do we have any plans to introduce products for formal customers, say credit cards, personal loan, or for an semi-formal segment?
The entire focus of last year, this year, and probably going forward will be to stabilize our entire portfolio. We do formal segment in terms of secured business loan on the underlying business rather than only on the strength of the property. So that business currently clocks around close to 25 to 30 crores. The intent is to scale that out. As interest rates are hardening, banks become far and more competitive compared to the NBFCs. We target anywhere between 30 lakhs to around 100 lakhs, 150 lakhs in that. So intent to growing that business segment, which will be more on the formal basis, including all returns filed, GST. So other than that, we don't have any immediate plan except for doing some pilots with some fintechs for the personal loans at this point of time.
Yeah. Sir, and the last question is, do you have any plans to introduce risk-based pricing in the microfinance segment, say, based on geographies or the customer vintage period?
We need to. Currently, we do only segmental-based in terms of various first cycle, second cycle, third cycle. But increasingly, depending on the credit behavior of various geographies, it will really be scientific to do risk-based pricing based on the customer profile as well as in terms of the geographies. Currently, we are not doing, and we don't have any intent to do it, say, probably in the immediate next quarter. But yes, we should really move on to that. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Pulavarti Sai Kiran from Pulavarti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, so thanks a lot for taking my question. Good set of numbers. So just quickly on the liquidity on the balance sheet, it's still pretty high. I remember you guiding us saying that look, this liquidity will slowly inch downwards as the balance sheet grows. What's the thought process over there? Thank you.
So the liquidity, has been reducing over time as the funding book grows, right? We will be personally, comfortable with having liquidity closer to around, 10% of our loan book. That's the kind of number that we would be wanting to drive. I think this is one number that has been consistently reducing quarter on quarter as a natural organic growth of the business. So I think by Q4 we will be there.
But Kisi, if you look at from September to December, the investment book is marginally increased, but cash and balances have increased by almost like 220-230 crores. So that surprised me. In September, yes, from March to September it had fallen, but from September to December it has been increasing. Probably it is also acting as a drag on the margins.
Yeah, so that's a little bit temporary side, to be honest, because we had a deposit drive to attract retail balances for 3 weeks in December. So there's a spurt because of that, but that will get taken care of in this quarter.
Got it. And just a couple of questions on the data keeping side. If you can just help us to understand the movement of NPAs in terms of slippages and the recoveries, upgrades and write-offs this quarter.
So in this quarter, two things happened. So one is that from the NPA levels of last quarter, we had around 160 crores of new NPAs getting added. And from that, we have had around 70 crores of recoveries and the rest 430 crores are moving out because of the ARC transaction.
So there are no write-offs this quarter?
No write-offs for this quarter.
Got it. And this just one more thing in terms of recoveries plus upgrades. Again, just trying to understand how this trend is progressing, because you guys have put in a lot of efforts in terms of investing in the people, for the recoveries and upgrades, how this is progressing, how one should look at for the next couple of quarters probably.
So, you know, the focus on collection continues. We had a combination of in-house and third-party teams working on this. Based on the kind of performance that we have seen of the third-party teams, we will do a bit of a rejig. There are some part of the portfolio that we will pull back in. But over time, I think the idea is that, you know, the entire portfolio that has been sold to the ARC and the written-off portfolio is something that we will be, you know, taking care of ourselves. So in one of the previous question, I talked of a little bit of the increase in headcount in the inclusive finance segment. So that is what it will address.
Got it. But just trying to understand this movement of NPS, when I just put in this into the numbers, like 532 plus 160 minus 498 gets me to the closing NP of 194 crores.
Correct. So 228 is what we have, right?
Yeah.
Right. So so there have been some runoffs as well because of which we came to that number. I'll give you a quote. I mean, I can separately share the quarter-wise split with you.
Got it. And last question from my side, in terms of the restructured advances, I think you guys have got 65% collection efficiency. Do you foresee a scenario where this restructured advances, how this will get run off, and probably is there any scope for increase in the collection efficiency in these numbers?
Right, whatever in restructured, where there is a moratorium, coming out of the moratorium, quite a bit of that flowed into the NPA. The current ones, which we are kind of having a standard, it is behaving exactly like any other good portfolio. Fairly confident that the standard restructured advances on as on December will 95% will continue to be standard and will close and will even fund the customers again.
Sir, so, just trying to understand how this restructured will move into the normal book. That means that they're still having some principal or interest moratorium. That's why they're classified as restructured?
No. Once restructured, they continue to be classified as, we show it as restructured. But there is no moratorium. All the moratoriums for us got over in the month of June. So for a maximum of 3 months, if they are not paid by September or latest by October, they all, those customers became NPA. So we don't have any moratorium book running at all beyond June.
Got it. So essentially the restructured as of now doesn't have any moratoriums, and that restructured has collection efficiency of 65%. Currently, they are broadly, as there is no overlap between restructured and NPS, majority of this or 100% of this is standard. Is my understanding right?
Correct. Yeah. So one other thing, aside to your previous question, so we have had around 300 crores reduction in our NPS. So the walk of that is 160 crores of new NPS, 30 crores of recoveries, and 430 crores of assets moving out due to the ARC transaction. So that gives you the 300 crore reduction walk.
Got it. So understood. Okay, great. Thanks all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you very much. As we in the last three quarters, there has been a sequential improvement. We really see a robust performance by including tighter controls and monitoring systems and addition of quality manpower. So we are fairly confident in terms of an asset growth of ending the year with around closer to 25%, as Kanishka guided, around closer to 6,100 crores, and a robust growth in terms of retail liabilities. Our focus continues to be on CASA. Our intent is to really move it from 15% to closer to 17% to 20% by end of this financial year. We are targeting a PPOP of 40 crores starting from March and fairly on track considering the current run rate as well as the growth in quality disbursements. So we look forward to deliver a very robust financial year in FY24 and subsequently build on it for future. Thank you very much for your continued support.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Centrum Broking Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you. Thank you.